Hi, this is Keith Hall with Jazz Currents. Join me as we explore the music of trumpeter Miles Davis. In the next four episodes of Jazz Currents, we'll celebrate what would have been the 90th birthday of Miles Davis. Miles had a career that spanned over 50 years, including over 100 albums as a leader, and he was a primary voice in many of the important developments in jazz history. In our first episode, we heard from his early recordings with Charlie Parker and his first collaboration with Gil Evans on the pivotal album Birth of the Cool. In this, our second episode, we'll hear some recordings Miles made in the 1950s, including his early albums as a leader, featuring his first great quintet and another collaboration with Gil Evans. We'll pick up in 1949 when Miles Davis made a trip to Paris and performed at his first jazz festival with bebop pianist and composer Tad Dameron. The group included James Moody on tenor sax, Dameron on piano, Barney Spieler on bass, and Kenny Clarke on the drums. Let's hear a bit of Tad Dameron's composition, Lady Bird. When Miles was in Paris, he simply loved it. He loved the culture, and he felt that black jazz musicians were more respected there. He also fell in love with the French singer and actress Julia Greco, but he decided to return to the States. And in the U.S., he faced such a contrast from the positive experience in Europe, and he missed his French love. Miles suffered from severe depression. And during the next 4 years, he went into a downward spiral and developed a very destructive heroin habit. However, during this time, he completed the remainder of the Birth of the Cool sessions. He also worked with Sonny Rollins, Jackie McLean, and Jimmy Heath. He reunited with Charlie Parker and freelanced on many record dates, including this one from 1950 with the divine one, Sarah Vaughan. But I know it is some spring. I'm starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, why should I have spring fever when it isn't even spring? I keep wishing I was somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing words that I had never heard from a man I've yet to meet. I'm as busy as a spider spinning down dreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on January of 1951, Miles recorded his first few tunes for an independent label called Prestige Records. Prestige was significant because it had begun experimenting with the new LP or long play format on the 33 and a third record albums. Instead of the traditional 78 records that could only hold 5 minutes per side, the 33 and a third LPs could have more than 20 minutes of music on each side. Miles was one of the first jazz musicians to be released this way. The group included trombonist Benny Green, tenor saxophonist Sonny Rollins, John Lewis on the piano, Percy Heath on bass, and drummer Roy Haynes. From 1951, here's a tune called Morpheus. Miles continued to struggle with his heroin addiction and tried to kick his habit many times without success. By 1953, Miles was very sick and went home to his father's farm in Missouri. Miles locked himself in a room, and after 8 or 9 days, he stepped out clean, ready to get his life back in order. '54 was a renaissance year for Miles Davis. He had beat his addiction and recorded 25 tunes on 5 sessions for Prestige Records. Miles was back. From one of his 1954 albums, this is the title track, which he would continue to perform and record in different settings over the next 15 years. This is Walking. Another recording Miles made in 1954 was called Bag's Groove. On this record, Miles introduced the Harmon Mute, which would become part of his signature sound for many years. Bag's Groove featured Sonny Rollins on tenor saxophone, along with 3 of his compositions that would eventually become jazz standards, like this one, called Oleo. Thank you. In 1955, Miles appeared at the Newport Jazz Festival in Rhode Island as part of an all-star jam session. It included Percy Heath, drummer Connie Kay, Zoot Sims, Jerry Mulligan, and Thelonious Monk. Miles had been drug-free for over a year, and this performance was viewed by fans and critics as a comeback. It included this duo with pianist Thelonious Monk on his tune, Round Midnight. As a result of this performance, Miles signed a recording deal with Columbia Records. Now, you have to realize, signing with a major label like Columbia was a step up. However, Miles still had a year to go in his contract with Prestige Records. He was allowed to record for Columbia as long as the new material was not released until the Prestige agreement expired. In 1955, Miles formed what would become known as the First Great Quintet. The band included tenor saxophonist John Coltrane, pianist Red Garland, Paul Chambers on the bass, and drummer Philly Joe Jones. Saxophonist John Coltrane had recently been working with Dizzy Gillespie, Johnny Hodges, and Jimmy Heath. Pianist Red Garland, a Dallas native, was a sophisticated accompanist. He was known by his block chord style, and he was obviously influenced by pianist Ahmad Jamal, of whom Miles was a huge fan. The young 20-year-old bassist Paul Chambers, who was raised in Detroit, and he eventually became one of the most recorded and in-demand bassists of all time. He also became known for his bowed bass solos. And the ever-swinging drummer Philly Joe Jones. He'd been working with Miles and Tad Dameron before this quintet was solidified. This rhythm section specifically became a model for future rhythm sections as they exemplified the art of swinging and accompaniment. The quintet recorded in October of 1955 for what would become Miles' first album on Columbia called Round About Midnight. From this album, here's a tune by Charlie Parker. This is Alucha. Miles was now recording for Columbia Records, and yet he still needed to fulfill his obligations to Prestige. To fulfill the contract, Miles began recording the quintet in the studio located in the home of the now legendary recording engineer, Rudy Van Gelder. His first release by the quintet was simply called Miles, and this tune is called Bye Bye, or The Theme, and it became something the band would play at the set breaks during concerts. Miles loved this quintet, and so did the fans and critics. When they toured, the clubs were packed. Celebrities were coming out to hear them, and Miles said the music they were making gave him chills. Coltrane's saxophone virtuosity and Miles' restraint on the trumpet created a beautiful contrast. And the repertoire consisted of originals, Broadway songs, and pop tunes from the 20s. In addition to the album called Miles, the quintet recorded two marathon sessions that resulted in four separate albums called Cookin', Relaxin', Workin', and Steamin'. Prestige began releasing these annually in 1957. From the album called Relaxin' with the Miles Davis Quintet, this is If I Were a Bell. Prestige and Columbia Records, the number of albums released by Miles during the late 50s enhanced his reputation and made him a star. The 1950s Miles Davis Quintet had made a lasting impression on the ears and souls of listeners for years to come. Thank you. For his second recording with Columbia Records, he wanted to do something different. So he brought in his friend Gil Evans, who he hadn't worked with since the birth of the Cool Sessions. Instrumentation was now a 19-piece big band with Miles as the only soloist, and he played the entire album on flugelhorn. Miles tells the story of how Dizzy Gillespie came by to see him 3 weeks after the recording was released. Dizzy said it was the greatest and asked for another copy of the record because he played it so much it had worn out. Miles said that was one of the greatest compliments he'd ever received. Here's the title track from Miles Davis and Gil Evans. This is Miles Ahead. Join us next time for our third of 5 episodes celebrating the 90th birthday of Miles Davis. We'll hear music from his bands in the late 50s and early 60s, including the landmark recording Kind of Blue, and we'll enjoy additional collaborations with Gil Evans. I'm Keith Hall, and Jazz Currents is produced at WMUK with support provided by the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation and the Western Michigan University School of Music. Be sure to check out WMUJazz.com for upcoming jazz events, and make sure you get out and experience some live jazz. See you soon.